Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 2022 Recap Show. And I haven't done a podcast since August. And in one of my last ones, I think I mentioned that, you know, I've had a lot going on in the last year. So I'm going to try to, as we interview the same people that we do each year, to follow up with them. And then I'm going to do a little recap with some of the ones that we've done before. I'm going to add my own story in for this past year to recap what's gone on with me and how I've handled all the stress. So number one, I started Invisalign again, as I've mentioned a few times, and I started that on February 15th, but my mother fell 2 days later. So thank God I was doing Invisalign because I could take them with me and do them, because I'm going to be, now as some of you know, I've been gone a lot for the past year. So when my mother fell, she broke her left arm and her left hip, and she required surgery. She doesn't do well with surgery, but my sister, who is a nurse, was there to oversee her care. And I flew down a month later, and when she went into rehab. So because of my mother having the polio in the right arm, the broken left arm, she had no arms to use. It was a very difficult situation. And because my mother's had colon cancer all around with her age, it was a very difficult time for us caring for her. She required so much. So my husband and I flew down on March 17th, and I would be at the rehab every day, 12 hours a day, 8 to 8, taking care of her. At the same time, my sister was scheduled for knee surgery, and we decided for her to keep that surgery, and my husband would take her to rehab for her rehab every day while I'm with my mother. So that worked out good, and I was gone for 2.5 months. And then I came home, and you know, we had things that I had to do here, and then when I was going to go back, we all caught COVID. So I was sick for about 3 weeks, and I couldn't go until I recovered. So I went back in August. And in August, she was home. She was well taken care of. We also hired someone to come in and help. And then I flew back on September 11th because I was coming home for my 50th high school reunion, which was a lot of fun. I was coming home because my son Garrett was getting married to his beautiful wife, Mariah. My husband was turning 70, and I wanted to make sure I celebrated that. I wanted to get all this done before I had to go back to Florida. And then my daughter had informed me that she was pregnant again, but we kept that a secret. We didn't want anyone to know till she got to so many months, and which now everybody knows, and now you all know we're going to have our first grandchild. And then when I knew I had to go back in October, we had a major break in a pipe in our upstairs bathroom that went down and flooded. So our upstairs, our first floor, and all the way down to the basement, which in general, that is a huge stress, and I knew I had to leave, and we were trying to look for different tiles and things for the bathroom to redo them, and then I just ran out of time because my sister called and said that I had to get there right away. She didn't think my mother would make it till that night. So one of my brothers and I, we flew down. We were there that evening, and another brother came, and all six of us, let's just put it that way, all six of us were there, and the 2 weeks we were all together in that house. She was not thriving. You know, we were just swabbing her mouth. She was going to go. It was very stressful in one sense, but on the other sense, it's the first time all of us siblings were in a house together and enjoying the foods that my mother used to make. We made the Lebanese dishes. We made all of like Italian dishes she made. We even made the how do you feed a bunch of kids on a budget dishes. It was something, to me, it was a blessing because we're not going to have that again. We're all going to be staying in a house together. You know, everybody was helping do stuff outside the house, inside the house, so that was less of a burden on my sister. So then, you know, the boys all went home after 2 weeks. We didn't know, my mother then all of a sudden revived. So we didn't know how long is this going to go on. The boys go home, my sister and I are there, and we took care of her. I had my first Thanksgiving and Christmas without my family with my husband and kids. And then we could see that she was very quickly, she was not thriving anymore. She was dying. And my mother passed away on January 2nd. And then we had already made arrangements long before my mother and I did it, actually 10 years before. So we just had to make a phone call, you know, get her body back here to Boston. We all had to make arrangements to fly back and, you know, with the siblings and my brother down there, his wife, my niece. And so we all flew home and had the funeral, and I was able to do the eulogy. I did a 15-minute eulogy, and I actually held myself together which I was surprised because every time I read it to somebody, I would cry. And I tried to make it a little entertaining about her life, and she never lived a disabled life. She led a very abled life. So I think the reason I wanted to recap myself is because it was a year of happiness and a year of sadness. And I think for me, I especially when we did this setback show, you know, things that cause setbacks, those that had setbacks from stress, not medication related or whatever, they all said they could feel it coming on. And I felt it coming on a few times. And I have certain things that I take, whether it's a homeopathic remedy, a certain magnesium that I take, doing deep breathing. I would go for walks when I was down there. I think it's important that we protect ourselves when we're under stress. I know somebody else right now who is going through a setback. She absolutely said now she saw it coming. It was constant stress, and she didn't do one thing to add, whether it was exercise or something naturally calming. So my best advice is to try to get your sleep, try to do some walking, you know, eat right during times of stress when you can. And I hope that that will help some of you, you know. So we're going to go on and start interviewing the people that we follow up with, and we're going to follow up with some of the other people that we interviewed this past year. And again, I can't thank you all enough for the wonderful emails and comments saying, you know, when are you coming back? So hopefully I'm back, and we will start getting some shows out there, one right after the other. Thank you. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the 2022 recap show. And I'm sure, like me, those that have followed your story would like to hear where you're at right now.
Hi, Geraldine. Thanks so much. I am doing great. I've had a very interesting year. In October of last year, they stopped making the brand name Valium from the manufacturer that I had used. Mm-hmm. And that was a little bit of a setback and about a 6-week kind of screw up. But it eventually worked itself out, and the new manufacturer, it looks like, has the same ingredients as the original. So I was able to spare myself the agony of having to figure out what inert ingredients I was reacting to. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to deal with that, but it was a bump in the road that was pretty major, that set me back in my tapering. I also had stopped tapering in the summertime, to really be able to handle my daughter's shower and wedding and the stress that came along with that.
Right.
So I had previous to that, I had tapered too rapidly. So I got very brave, and my micro tapering of 1/100th a day became easy. So I, of course, reached further. And for me, the withdrawal effects of the Valium don't really kick in for about 14, 15, 16 days. So I think I'm doing great. And then I get thrown back into being bedridden, nauseous, unable to eat, sick as a dog. And then it takes me a variable amount of time to restabilize my nervous system again by stopping the taper. So I had a few incidents of my overzealousness, you know, get me. But overall, last year I was at 15 milligrams in January, and now it's almost March 1st, and I am at 7 milligrams. And I've stayed steady at tapering 1/100th a day. And I haven't gone beyond that. And when I do feel withdrawal symptoms, I immediately stop tapering that next day until the symptoms stop.
So you're listening to your body the whole time?
The whole time. It's completely my body driven. And it's not Lisa driven, because I have no control over it, which is really frustrating.
So Lisa, I want to just mention a couple things. So the one thing people should be always watching for, make sure you have the same brand, because that can make a difference.
Huge. Right. Huge.
And then, you know, again, watch how you're tapering. Yep. And when you said that, and you never went back up, you just hold.
Yep.
I think that's important.
Ever. No okay. matter how I feel. But the way I can handle not going up is over these years, I've developed an arsenal, my little toolbox of mm-hmm. all natural alternatives.
Yep. I have my toolbox. Yep.
And in my toolbox are a lot of essential oils, and they really work. And CBD really works. I mean, I have perfected my little recipes that work for me. And so when I can't handle my symptoms, that's what I reach to. I never, ever reach to a Valium, because every time I take a tiny little piece, I feel horrible. My whole body, I feel nauseous. I taste metal in my mouth. My stomach hurts. My head hurts. And I just want to vomit and purge it.
When you say take Valium, you mean to get rid of the symptoms or just in general? Okay. So you never take more.
I never, ever take more. And just taking what I have to take, the way I've kind of helped mitigate the side effects of taking it, not the withdrawal symptoms, but the side effects of taking it, is I take as small of a little piece as I can from when I first get my first symptom in the morning. So mm-hmm. my heart will start to race. I get tachycardic. I take a little teeny piece. If that doesn't do it, I take a little teeny piece more.
When you say take a teeny piece, a tiny piece of?
Of the Valium.
Okay.
So what I do is, instead of doing two doses a day like the Ashton Manual states, what I've done is I break up those two doses a day into little teeny pieces throughout.
And you're using a jeweler scale, right? So you know how much you have for the whole day.
Exactly.
Okay. So we can clarify that.
My whole day's amount. And then however my body needs it throughout the day. And you know, it's really weird. The days are different. Some days I end up with having more left after 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I take that bigger dose, which is like, you know, 2.5 and a little bit more, then I feel really sick. So it's like taking a little piece of the poison at a time
mm-hmm.
allows my body to function. I can live. I can eat. I've gained 10 pounds.
Wow.
I gained in all this time. I could not gain weight.
Right. And Lisa, you are still eating organic, having food delivered, working out.
Yep.
I mean, you're still doing all of that.
Yep. I ended up pushing myself too far in exercising. So I hurt my neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
So what I learned is, you know, I can't push myself to the next level, and that's okay.
Right. And you know, where you have went from bedridden, if people go back and listen to your story, if you go back, you were bedridden. So, you know, you don't have to be a gourmet cook, right? You keep it pretty simple. I want people to understand that, you know, you don't have to be in the kitchen all day to prepare your food.
No, my diet is easy. It's an organic protein and usually a salad with a bunch of vegetables in it,
mm-hmm.
and another vegetable. So it's really easy. I mean, right. My dinners take 20 minutes to make.
Right. And so give me an idea of your breakfast. So if somebody is struggling and, you know, they're like, well, I can't do this. So give me just a kind of a quick idea of breakfast, lunch. And now we know what you do for dinner: protein, salad, vegetables. So what would lunch and breakfast look like?
Breakfast would usually be a smoothie.
Okay.
I have a particular protein. So I learned about different protein shakes. So I was buying protein shakes. And then I learned that they were very high in glutamate, which made my symptoms worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a protein that is not high in glutamate. So I use that. And
one do you use?
It's Garden of Life.
Okay. Yep. They're great, great company.
Yep. And I use their probiotics too. I mix a lot of fruits, different fruits, goat yogurt, goat's milk. coconut. I don't do any cow dairy. But what I'd like to share is that I have in the past year done a series of this allergy elimination technique done with acupuncture. So I'm able to eat a lot more of the foods that I was avoiding in previous years. I was completely dairy, gluten, and sugar-free when we spoke last. Now I've added in fruits for the sugar, which I wasn't doing before. And they're not, after this allergy elimination technique, I'm able to tolerate these things.
So when you say an allergy elimination technique with acupuncture, how does that work? I don't think I've heard of like doing other things with a medical doctor, but you're doing it with an acupuncturist?
Yes, it's a particular type of acup. It's kind of a chiropractic acupuncture combination. And the simplest way to think of it is I put in, and actually I tested, I reacted against the Valium as well. So I had this acupuncture allergy elimination technique done with Valium. So I held a Valium while I had this acupuncture done to rewire my body so that it wouldn't respond as if the Valium was a substance that my immune system had to reject, just like the sugar and the gluten, and got dust, mold, pollen, cats, dogs, and you name it. And afterwards, I could hold that Valium in my hand, and I didn't taste as much of the metal taste as I did before. I do still taste it. It's not completely gone, but it's not nearly as bad as it was before. And I think part of why it's been easier for me to taper is because of this acupuncture allergy technique that was done to me against the Valium.
Wow, I never heard of it. I do know that certain people, have been allergic to things and they've had to eliminate them. But and how do you find an acupuncture that does that? Is it like a particular thing you look up to find somebody in your area?
It's called NAET, and I can't off the top of my head the end. It's not natural. It stands for the name of the doctor who created
Right.
it.
I have heard of NAET. I didn't realize it was acupuncture,
Yep,
points. Okay.
acupuncture points and chiropractic with an activator. So it's a
Okay.
combination of the two, and it seems to have made a difference.
Good. Good. So, any other updates? 'Cause you are, and your dad passed away this past year, right? So you were under stress taking care of him. Yeah, so that was a lot. We were talking about that. I'm just trying to think because, we haven't been able to get together, even though I was in Florida like over 6 months this past year, but I was too busy. But if I get to come back, you and I are going to get together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So I think that is that everything, Lisa? So the people know that you're almost there. Oh, let's just say one thing though. Your doctor, who's going to be retiring, who's
Yes.
one of the ones that has testified against us and at the state house, he is now at the point where he's realized that these can cause an issue.
Every time I talk to him, he is so supportive and so apologetic that he doesn't have any answers, and he completely understands the suffering I've endured. He said he doesn't know why. He cannot give me an answer. There are not any studies. There isn't any money in doing any studies. He had talked to me over a year ago about him personally trying to get funding to do some studies because I'm not his only patient
Right.
with type of horrible, long-lasting withdrawal.
Right. Well,
But
you know what? I'm wondering because, Garrett is here and he filed, him and his boss, they filed the benzo bill again for this year and it's going to be via Zoom. Is that correct, Garrett?
there'll be the option to be
Yeah, the
using
option to be via Zoom.
the
I wonder, if he would come in and say, hey, you know, we've learned, we are learning, we're listening, or even send a letter or to help Mass Medical not come in against us, which would be, hopefully you and him can have that talk, you know, when the time comes.
When I talk to him next month, I will definitely bring up that topic and ask if he would testify and say, you know, when I testified last time, I gave you the information I had at hand, but now since I've met Lisa, the door has opened and it's like Pandora's box. And yeah, we have many patients like this and right, we don't know why. And Lisa's taught us a lot about this. And, you know, he's amazed at the different tools I've come up with right, to help this process. And he, every time he reminds me that this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And there is no time, and I can take as long.
Yeah. Only that's the opposite. It's not a marathon. It's going to be a sprint. You know, he's telling you. I mean, he has learned. It's not on his time. It's your body's time. So I respect the fact that he has learned. Yeah. And I hope when you and him talk that maybe there'll be some help on his end. Because again, part of our benzo bill, we want to protect people who have been on them for years, and we see it all the time now. People are being cut off. We don't want that to happen. So what we're asking for is actually pretty decent. Informed consent, symptom-guided taper, which is what you're doing, short-term reason, short-term prescription, and anybody on long-term needs to be protected and not forced off. And some, it's, they've been on too long. They don't want to even try. They should have that option. So.
Well, he's actually given me that option. When we speak, he says, Lisa, you don't have to do this. You can stay on this amount. Mm. You don't have to
Right.
your taper. The choice Right. is yours. But he has brought up the fact that when he retires.
I was just going to say that the next doctor might force you off.
Yeah. He said, we don't have another doctor at Tufts that can support me because I'm on Medicare. Mm-hmm. And none of the psychiatrists there can take Medicare.
Right.
And so, you know, we're waiting to see how far I get before he retires. And I don't know what we're going to do right, at that point in time. And we'll cross that bridge when right, I get there.
So one thing I want people to know, because when you were first starting, you weren't driving much. But now when I was talking to you one time, because you're like, oh, no, I have to go drive on the highway or whatever. You're driving further and on highways that you weren't before. Life has opened up for you. You're doing more while tapering.
No highways.
Oh, no highway, but you're on 1A. What is that route down there that you're on?
Route 1. I can do route 1. I can drive distances when someone else is driving for long periods. I've driven, you know, a couple of days. My reaction is much better in the car. I'm not screaming and yelling. I'm not freaking out.
But to be honest, Lisa, when I'm down there, I can't even stand being on the highways. I've never seen anything like it. I won't even drive in Florida. I will not even drive down there. And I can drive here. People are like, well, if you can drive in Boston, which is crazy. But down there, I see nothing but these massive accidents on the highway. It's terrible. So I know the route that, yeah, that you were on. And that's a much prettier ride anyway.
And so it's still an issue and I try to overcome it. I did try to get on the highway. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Yeah. I'm happy the exit was very close.
Right.
And I chose not to force myself to try it again because you know what? I don't have much longer to go.
Yeah.
When I'm done with this and the poison's out of my body,
you'll be fine. Yeah. I still, Lisa, don't drive on the highway unless somebody's with me. And I can do fine. I don't know what it is. It's still the trauma, which I said this year I was going to work on the trauma. I got the DNRS program to start working on it. And then, you know, when my mother fell, I've had no time for me. So I am going to do it. It's strictly the memory, you know, the trauma of it all. But I look forward to when I get down there. I'm hoping to come for a few weeks to go back just to visit and help my sister clean out some more stuff. But all right, so we will follow up with you next year when you're going to be off, which will be fantastic.
Yes, I cannot wait.
All right, Lisa, thank you again for giving me your time.
Thanks.
Okay, all right, bye. Hi, Melly. Welcome to our 2022 recap show. And interesting, we were talking just very quickly before we started when I asked you how long you're off. So this is interesting, the answer.
So I checked my, Geraldine and hi, Garrett. I checked my Clean Day app and it says I'm clean 1,097 days. So that's 3 years that I'm off. And then I said to you, wait, what's today's date?
Yeah.
February 28th. And I remember I took my last benzo February 27th.
Right.
3 years ago, when you called me the 28th, as I was in a doctor's appointment with Art checking in with me, and that was my first day of not taking a benzo.
Right. And I thought, I was out driving somewhere, and I thought, wait a minute, she's off. We've never talked to anybody that first day, that first exciting day when you didn't take a benzo. So that turned out to be a really fun interview to speak to somebody day one.
Yeah, I was so excited that day. It was great. It was
so
great.
Here we are. 3 years later, yeah. And we've done the recap each year, and
yes.
You had some health issues previous, and I was always worried, how's she going to feel? And
yeah.
What people don't know, we actually got together last year when I was in Florida.
Yes.
And you look so beautiful, so healthy, and Joe and I loved meeting Art and you. And
likewise.
So let's hear, you've been under a lot of stress this year like I was.
Yes.
How is your health now 3 years later? Because people get worried about setbacks and what's stress going to do to me. Well, you had your handful of stress too.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had a lot of personal stress, as we all do in life.
Right.
Things happen. Life just happens. And there are stressful situations. But benzo is not even in my vocabulary anymore. Out of
wow.
It is not part of my life anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think about it. It's just not part of my life. So yeah, I've had stresses in life and health issues, as we all do, because mm-hmm. I'm getting older, and I've been dealing with them. Do I like them? No, but who does like health issues? No one likes them. I've
right.
been dealing with them. I have not taken another benzo. I feel better without it. I have no anxiety. And when I say no anxiety, I mean, we have issues where we're upset about something, which are normal situations. I mean, you just recently lost your mother. That's a situational anxiety or depression, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal to feel this way when you go through a loss or a hurt
right.
Like that. However, I don't have the anxiety feelings like the throat closing. I mentioned this last year, where it would just happen for no reason. And it was like interdose withdrawal or, you know, rebound anxiety. And I couldn't understand why these things were happening to me. It was the medication. It was the drug. So
right.
I have all of life stresses like everyone else, but I don't have feelings of anxiety. I don't have my throat closing. I don't have a sense of panic or doom. I just feel calm. And I go through life, again, there are things that I'm not happy about, but I'm benzo free and I don't feel the anxiety or the other manifestations of withdrawal, which I've mentioned
Good.
To you before. I don't have that.
So let me ask you this, because let's consider you're healed. And do
yeah.
you go on to the groups? Do you help people, or is it better for you not to see the suffering? Because that's kind of a big thing when people say, I have to walk away from it. I can't see it. So
no.
which is why we do
no
the
issue.
Podcast.
Nope. I am not on the groups just because I don't have time.
Yeah.
I've been doing my jewelry business, as you know, and that's been doing
oh.
pretty well. I took a little break now because I'm snowbirding in the warmer weather, and things
yeah.
happened that I did not take my beads and jewelry stuff with me. So I'm taking a little break from that. So I thought, what was the question?
So do you go into the groups? Do you help support
okay.
people?
So,
no. So your answer
I've been
is
too
no.
busy, because I've been too busy.
Yeah.
I don't go in the groups. However, I keep in touch with other people every so often
mm-hmm.
that are struggling or have gone through this. I'm not triggered by it. I genuinely want to help. So every once in a while, I'll pop in and I'll say, hey, now this is a reminder. I'm 3 years off, and I probably will go in and I'll make a little post that I'm okay. It's okay. Withdrawal does end. You will get through this. So
yeah.
I'm not on, but
right.
I do go back on occasionally.
Right. Well, I think that's why the podcasts are important, because people can hear you. They hear how good you're doing.
Yeah.
And they can listen to it over and over again to remind themselves and go back and hear your original one. And each recap show is you've only gotten healthier, you know? So
right.
I really appreciate you doing that with me, Gia.
Yeah.
So Maybe kind of like you, where you're fully healed now, Ken, who we also normally have on the show, he was going to get on and we couldn't get in touch, but Ken, you know, was also 100% healed. He's like, I'm healed. I want people to know it. So,
right. and he may have had a little health setback as I did. I had flu, viral, and you're sick, but it happens to everyone, or you may have some other chronic health condition. So what the good news is, about that whole scenario is that you're no longer concentrating on the benzos and getting through that. That's one thing you could check off your list. Right. So you can take all of your energy and effort now and put it into healing or managing your other health issues that you might have with normal aging, or if you have a chronic health condition, a lot of people do, which is probably the reason why they went on benzos anyway, just to get them through it and then just never came off. So the good news is you're not concentrating on the withdrawal or the symptoms or the tapering protocol. So now it's all you. You can concentrate on, you know, I have this issue, let me work on that, my gut, my health, my whatever the case may be. So that's good because you've gotten that out of the way.
Right. Good. Well, that's good news. And I know people love hearing the updates. So I guess this will be the last year that we do it with you. We got 3 years out of you.
And
it was from beginning to end, which is beautiful. And I hope I do get to see you if I get down there. If I come back down this time, just for pleasure. So that would be nice.
Wonderful. I look forward to seeing you guys again.
All right. All right, Mellie. Thank you so much for being on.
Okay. Thank you. And good luck to everyone. Take care.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Jim. Welcome to the 2022 Recap Show, which, you know, I love having you on to keep us updated with how you're listening to your body.
Hi, Geraldine. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you are such a great teacher to so many because you were dealing with not just a benzo, but your antidepressant. So give us the update for this year, because last year you got us caught up and people can always go back and start and listen to your story from the very beginning. So what happened this past year and where are you at?
Well, let's see. This year was a very interesting year for me. As you know, in 2021, I got off my benzo. I was tapering my antidepressant this past year and got down to, I'm on Cymbalta, and I got down to 20 milligrams of Cymbalta, down from 40. And it was a lot harder than I thought it would be. Also, on top of that, I went through, I unfortunately lost my job.
Right, which is a big stress.
Yeah, definitely a big stress.
So, Jim, when you lost your job, did you hold your taper or keep going?
Yeah, no, I held. That's exactly what I did. I the backtrack in February of last year, I was working at that time for a cannabis company in the medical department, helping people get medical cards and stuff like that. The stores that I was working in the support center, and the stores unionized, and I reached out to the union also. It was the Teamsters, and reached out to them and said that our department would also like to go union. So I organized a union. And we won our union in February of last year. It was, as I mentioned, the Teamsters. It was actually the same local that my dad was in when he was loading trucks in 1972.
Wow, interesting.
The exact same one, yeah. So I was very happy about that. At the same time, if you remember last year, I was having issues with my ear.
Yes.
And I had a procedure the exact same day that we won our union. I had a procedure done on my ear where they went in and they basically took a balloon and put it into my euthacian tube and opened it up. Something interesting happened, though, something that I did not expect. What happened was the ENT, I had told him about my benzo journey. And I had asked him not to use any benzos during this procedure. Well, I was sitting on the, or was in the bed getting ready to go in to the surgery room. And I had an IV in, and a nurse came in, stuck something into the IV, and I immediately knew I was given a benzo.
Did they give you Versed?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. They gave me that. I had done a special session, virtual session with this ENT to tell him, you know, that I did not want any benzos used. So I knew right then. I was like, you know, damn. So they bring me in and the anesthesiologist was there. And right before they put the mask on me, I asked him if they gave me a benzo. And he said, yeah. When I came out of it, I know, yeah. I know. You advocate and you advocate yeah. for yourself and it still happens. When I came out, I was furious. I was so mad. And I talked to the ENT and he said, he goes, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I had told you specifically no benzos. He's like, well, the anesthesiologist and I talked and it was just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. How did your body react to that?
That evening I felt it. I kind of felt too good. Let's put it that way. Like I knew something was up and I was very upset. That evening I just felt, when I say too good, it was like, I felt like, not like I kind of knew that I was going to pay for this basically is what I felt. I felt that way. And I did. Like the next day it started and I just felt withdrawal symptoms. But that evening, you know, my anxiety, everything was calmer, but you know, of course I was furious and everything, but that next morning I paid for it and I paid for it for weeks after that. I remember reaching out to you. Yeah. Because that's what you do when something happens. You reach out to your OT to get advice. And, you know, you told me that this has happened to other people. And
it has.
That, yeah.
Even and like them, they told him, don't give me a benzo. I mean, so the last time I had a colonoscopy, I said, I want nothing. You know, I will just stay wide awake. She couldn't believe it. I stayed awake for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, because the time before I stayed awake right to last minute saying, no, don't put anything in me. You know, I was getting knocked out with propofol. I kept saying, you are giving me propofol, no benzos. I mean, this is how paranoid we become.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I've seen where people, it was given to them and one was sick for about 3 months. Some it's just a few weeks. I can't remember now. How long did yours last?
Mine lasted probably about 2 months,
And that's pretty common. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I was very upset. I also found out that the same doctor hadn't checked my insurance fully and the procedure that I had wasn't covered.
Oh.
Yeah. The hospital bill was, the anesthesiologist bill was covered, but the doctor's actual bill, which is about $10,000, was not covered. And I'm still fighting, you know, with my old insurance about that. And, you know, I'm livid about it still.
I mean, this is a lot of stress.
Yeah. Yeah. Unneeded stress. I mean, had it been an opiate, had I told him, you know, I just went through this, you know, long opiate, you know, taper withdrawal, he wouldn't have given me an opiate. No. But because it's a benzo, they don't care. They really, and like I said, Geraldine, I don't know what more I could have done to advocate for myself.
Right.
I told him my journey. I told him, you know, I'm part of a support group. You know, so what more can people do?
You did everything you could. And so, but I think it's good that people listening know that you got to still advocate and write down to last minute until you're unconscious. You got to, like I did, make sure, no, I can't have one, you know, and you did, but they just came in and, I don't know. It gets scary.
But. I even met with him, but I should have said, you know, I didn't even think about saying, you know, did you talk to the anesthesiologist? I didn't even think that. I thought that had I told him, that was enough.
Yeah.
I didn't think my fate was going to be decided by these two people.
Right. And is it in your records too, Jim?
Yes. Yes,
and it's in my records.
So I'm filing a complaint. I filed a complaint, I mean, with the hospital. And, you know, good luck trying to get this money.
You go. Say, well, here's what we can do. Yeah, let's see what happens. You can either drop the money or I can try to sue for harm. But I don't know. And I hate to say stuff like that, but you did do everything. So now that affects you for 2 months. So did you hold your antidepressant taper that whole time? Okay.
Yes,
so you're like always, and this is what we love about you. always listen to your body. You were not going to go ahead until you felt better.
Yeah, no, not going to go further okay. with that. I mean, and at that point, I was probably, and with the Cymbalta, I was counting the beads in the capsule. Mm-hmm. It actually is a not easy way to, I mean, it's taking the beads out. There's actually a lot of support online I found for, you know, different Cymbalta withdrawal groups and taking mm-hmm. the beads out. But it was a lot harder even before this happened than I thought it would be. Maybe because I didn't wait as long since my benzo taper. Right. Lots of stuff, everything's in retrospect, but you do mm-hmm. what you do at the time. Maybe I should have waited a year, you know, once I was off the benzo and yeah. then did my Cymbalta. Some people do that. Mm-hmm. You know, in retrospect too, with this ENT, I trusted this guy. I thought this was the issue, but what happened was that it was actually a TMJ issue, which is very common with benzo people. They have TMJ issues.
Yeah, I've actually heard that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is something I would advise to anybody who's dealing with air issues. Look into, and I did this after I had this procedure, and this procedure did nothing to help. I went to physical therapy. I mm-hmm. called a couple places. I asked if, you know, they had someone who mainly did TMJ issues, and I found somebody really close at an Athletico. Went in, within 2 weeks, I started feeling relief.
Oh, excellent. Good. Yeah. So again, yeah. advocating for yourself and looking for what you needed.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did that. So this is around like April now. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to come out of having been given this benzo, and work was not happy about the us going union, which right. places never are, but they had decided to do a work reduction, and our department was taken out. So all of us, you know, lost our job at that point, but because we had gone union, we were given a better severance. We were given, you know, longer health care and more money. So I found myself at, you know, at that point, I'm 58, being unemployed mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, less than a year off of the benzo and trying to taper an antidepressant. So it was a rough, you know, summer. I won't, you know. Sugarcoated.
So, Jim, with the that's April. You lose your job. You had held on your taper. Are you still holding? Were you still holding on your taper as you come into the summer?
Yes. Okay, I was still.
This is now months you're holding. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's lots going on. I mean, it's just the anxiety of trying to find a job, reinvent yourself. Mm-hmm. I was very disillusioned with the industry. I was always for the medical use of cannabis, and mm-hmm. you know, a lot of these places, they use that to get in and to a state, and then it's legalization. And right. you know, I wasn't stupid. I knew that, but you know, I knew that my motives for helping people were true. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not like that for, you know, some of these companies. And you know, I decided that I didn't want to go back into that industry. I wanted to do something else, but I wasn't really sure exactly what I wanted to do yet.
Right.
I was talking, I have a really good therapist, and I was talking to him about going back to school. And I hadn't been to school since, you know, a little bit of college after high school. I didn't get a degree or anything because I started working it because I had to at that point. But, you know, he's like, well, why don't you take something remote? And, you know, like one class. And I'm like, okay. So there was a local college and they had some substance abuse classes. And I knew that didn't, you know, for us, obviously, we're not substance abuse, but I figured, you know, it'd be something I'm interested in, mm-hmm. You know. So I looked into it and I found out that there was a program here in Illinois, and they also have it in other states. It's to become a certified recovery support specialist. And it's a CRSS are the initials, and basically it's using your lived experience to help other people. And
which is excellent. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I thought it would be great for me, exactly what I had been doing, you know, with the support group and everything. And I signed up for school. And right before school started, I got COVID really bad, really bad. Yeah. I remember reaching out to you because I had that I had lost my taste.
Yeah.
I had metallic taste for a couple months. It was bad, but I started school and, things change so much. I met new people. My self-esteem, you know, was risen. I started being able to share my experience. And what was important to me was sharing it with people who were going to be helping other people.
Right.
Was important.
So were they learning from you? Because again, there's more coming from a substance abuse angle, but I have a friend who's in that, mm-hmm. but he loved reading the Ashton Manual. And he's like, boy, benzos really are a whole different thing going on. So how did they react to what you're telling them, your lived experience?
They actually reacted really well. The instructor was very supportive, was very asking me different questions. The fellow students were very curious about it. A lot of them, as you know, we all know, they're like, oh, I didn't know this about benzos. Mm-hmm. We always hear that. I was three different classes that I was in and for that last semester. And there was a total probably of, in all three classes, probably, I don't know, maybe 60 different people that I was able to help educate about mm-hmm. benzos and let them know my journey. Through it also, I met another student and she's currently tapering a benzo and wow. felt very much alone. And we were able to connect through this too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's been amazing. It's been amazing. That was last semester in January of this year. I started a new job. I'm working for a behavior health center nearby my house. I'm helping to co-facilitate face-to-face support groups for people who are dealing with educational issues, mental health issues, who have just been released from jail and they're doing mm-hmm. this as a step down type thing. And I'm able to share my benzo stuff too with, you know, people.
Good. So with the taper, you know, because you had school, you had everything, you picked the taper up somewhere along the line, or are you still holding? Cause you've been
still holding. Yeah. Good. I'm still holding because I started the new job.
There's not nothing wrong anything. With that. You know, people should realize, like, you've been on hold now for a while. So nothing wrong with that because you got to do life. So I think that's what I like about when we keep following up with you, that you got to go with what's going on with your life and you pay attention to what's happening with your body. So you're on hold right now as you get into your new career. Is that where we're at?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So next year, Jim, when we come back, we're going to see how you're probably thriving, doing your taper, doing good, teaching people. You've always done, you know, really well. I mean, none of us like to feel sick in these tapers, but you'll know when you're ready to start again.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that people just kind of, you need to listen to your body. And that's what got me through my benzo taper. It was a lot longer than most people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I said before, I had to work. I was working in an Apple store and tapering my benzo at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy to be doing that, but I was able to do it. And I'll pick it up again and I'll be off the Cymbalta.
You will. Yeah. I have no doubt. So any last minute advice for somebody?
Look for opportunities. Our experiences are very unique. And we have a lot to be able to teach and help other people. So look for opportunities where you can share your story and don't be afraid to share that, because that's what got me into this program. I never thought I would be out of the house again, working, going to school, being able to help other people. And, you know, it's not just my benzo issue. I had a drinking issue, so people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. I actually stopped cannabis, which, you know, I think cannabis is a great thing for some people. But for me at this point in my life, I decided that, you know, I didn't want to be using it anymore.
Right.
I needed to be more clear head. So I stopped that. So I think my advice to people is to, you know, look for opportunities to help other people, because helping other people makes you feel so good.
It does. It really
does. You know
does.
That.
Yeah, that's what helped me. I was at home suffering so much, and it opened up my world, you know, by putting myself out there and, you know, starting the support group to find others like yourself. And again, it's those lived experience. That's, you could put me in. I used to say when people like, oh, if I could just talk to Professor Ashton, I'm like, but what can she do for you? Like, she's giving, here's your advice. It's what you have to do. So there really is that lived experience with another person that is everything, you know? Yeah.
You're the ultimate peer support person.
Oh,
you
please. Well, Jim, I love having you on, and we will definitely be doing this again next year. And best of luck with the new career.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Alrighty. Bye-bye. Hi, everybody. So now that we just heard the interviews, our updates with our three people that we've had before, and of course, our fourth one is Ken from episode 19. And Ken wanted to be on, but we were trying to schedule everything. So what he wanted to know, and if you remember, Ken was prescribed Ativan. He never saw a doctor. He just kind of called, left a message for his doctor. Next thing you know, he gets a ding on his phone to go pick up a prescription. He goes to the pharmacy and they hand him Ativan, and they don't even tell him what it's for, what it's about, and he just starts taking it. Within 2 weeks, his life is turned upside down, and he has to do a weaning. And last year, when we did the recap with him, he wasn't really sick so much, I would say, from the benzos, but he had let himself go with his good eating habits and exercise. So when I talked to him and I got a message from him, he said he is perfectly healthy. He's doing great. So based on our interviews, we're not going to be interviewing Melly anymore. She's got her life back. She's healthy. Ken's healthy. Lisa's still doing her micro taper, and we'll follow up with her, and we will continue to follow up with Jim. But I want to update on a few other people. So Josh Fitzmaurice, who is the owner of SlickShades.com, episode 21. When I first met Josh at our state house for a benzo hearing, just seeing him, he reminded me so much of myself because he was thin. And years ago, I was so thin, it didn't matter what I ate. I was just thin. And he happened to reach out to me last year, and we talked, and he decided to work with a functional medicine doctor. So just like me, after 5 years of seeing a slow recovery, Josh did work with a functional medicine doctor, and the test showed that he had gut issues and adrenal cortisol issues. So he has started on what he was told to take, and he is seeing improvements. So that's good. I wish he had done it sooner, like I wish I had done it sooner. So, next year when we do our recap, I'm sure Josh is going to be doing a lot better. Our next one, Dr. Jen Swankowski from episode 39. Jen said, I am putting my book up, The Waiting Room, My Recovery Journey Through Medication, Injury, and Benzodiazepine Withdrawal for free on my YouTube channel, which is Jennifer Swan, PhD. I read it chapter by chapter. I had many say that they couldn't read, and I decided to just put it out there for free to people. I have read the first 10 chapters so far, but for those who want a hard copy, it's still available on Amazon. She said, I'm doing well on my turtle pace taper, but definitely experience windows and waves and trying to find that delicate balance between how much I can do, and getting used to the backlash that inevitably follows. The next one I want to follow up on is Beth, the nurse, episode 40. Beth is still working full-time, still working on her nurse practitioner degree and living life. She had some stress this past year, but continues to do well. The next one, episode 41, Jennifer DiGiulio. She said, it's been 89 days since I completed my taper. I am doing really well. I was fortunate to not experience any symptoms during my taper, and when I had finished, I am glad I did the water taper at my own pace, and I listened to my body. Positivity and self-love truly helped me with the entire experience. So if you want to hear what she did, go back in and listen to episode 41. Here's a really good update, which is very exciting. Melissa Bond, episode 42. Melissa said, I wrote a new chapter for the paperback version of the book, which will come out in June this year. I actually gave my book to Dr. Amazing and then had a long chat with him over tea one night. The new chapter goes into the whole experience. He was shocked at what I'd gone through. He told me he had suffered a bout of debilitating insomnia when he was early in his medical practice, and benzos had been his, quote, savior. He also told me that in his medical training, they were taught that benzos were better than barbiturates and that he'd never had a problem with them himself. He was sorry for what I'd gone through and read the book cover to cover. Later, told me he'd learned a lot and thanked me, which is just incredible. And you know what? This is what it's all about. It's if you were harmed by a doctor, and yes, we're all angry. She went back and she finally sat down. He read her book and they talked. So, you know, he's learned. Hopefully he'll then teach others. So that's our updates from some of the past episodes. So Garrett is here with me. And Garrett, what do you think about all the updates? Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to hear so many people are doing well. You know,
yeah.
You know, when you said like we won't be interviewing Mel anymore, it feels like a graduation, right?
I know. And Ken, they're both, they're off. They've got their lives back. And I got to meet Melly and her husband, Ken. I mean, not Ken, Melly and Art. And I mean, they're just the nicest couple. And she is just so youthful looking. I mean, she looks amazing.
It's awesome that everybody's doing well. I hope, you know, people that are listening hear that. And because I feel like it's always the biggest concern when people call you. It's, you know, am I ever going to get better? And
right.
So people get better.
And they do. And that's what the whole point of doing this is. So, yeah,
It's also weird to hear all these names, too, because it's like us recording is so sporadic. And sometimes you forget all these interviews that we've done. It's, you know, it's funny just to hear these names that we haven't heard in so long.
Right. And, well, that's why the yearly recaps are good, because people are like, whatever happened to that one we did that interview? And I know while I was gone for 6.5 months, we did try to slip one in, 6 months ago when I was home for a bit. Yeah, it's like, where did that one go? What happened to her? What happened to him? So the updates are good. And with Jen putting her book on for free for people to listen to, because that is important. I couldn't read a lot when I was sick. And Josh, I'm just thrilled that he started doing the functional medicine. He's doing a lot better.
Can you spell Slick Shades, by the way? You said slickshades.com. But
oh, yeah.
It's
so
S-L-Y, right?
S-L-Y-K, Shades, S-H-A-D-E-S.com. And Melly, I think you can find her on Instagram. I think it's Lovely Girl by Melly. Her jewelry, if anybody wants to support anyone who's been harmed by benzos, Josh, support his site. He actually has another business, too, and I can't remember the name of it right now, and I should have gotten that from him. But, you know, look at Melly's jewelry. It's actually beautiful. She'll put stuff up on Facebook, on Instagram, and it's beautiful, and we like to support people. And we like to support Jennifer's book and Melissa's book. So, Melissa's book is Blood Orange, if I remember right. But people can go back into the episode and check. So aside from the updates of these people, what else is going on? You know, I want to ask you a question. I know you, when you were younger, you used to get worried when I was under a lot of stress, because when I was very sick, the stress would pull me down. Mm-hmm. And so I was gone a lot this year, did you get worried that I was going to fall apart? Because I think I did call home a few times, and I'm like, oh, I'm under so much stress down here.
Yeah. I don't know. Part of, obviously, you felt for you being down there, because it seemed like it was probably a 24-hour-a-day job taking care of Grandma in our final days. Mm-hmm. And it went on for a lot longer than we expected, because I still remember the weekend that you left in October.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you left, it was like maybe a Friday or Saturday, and we expected you to be home Monday or Tuesday, because that's kind of that's kind of what we were told, that, you know, these are, even if you flew right now, you may not make it in time. And then it turns out it's, you know, another 4 months of being down there.
No, two and a half. So I was gone 6.5 months altogether. I added up how long, off and on, coming home. And while I was away for the first 2.5 months, you got engaged. So I wasn't here for that. So I missed that. But I did fly home. For
the wedding.
I did come home for the wedding.
You made it for the wedding.
I made it for the wedding. But I flew home. One of the times I flew home, which was interesting, because Holly Hardman was having the very first premiere of As Prescribed. So I left Florida like May 26th, and we went to that, I think, June 4th. We went, all of us as a family, we stayed out there, out in Western Mass. We got to have time together. We brought young James with us.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you like the premiere? I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool.
To see it up on the big screen.
Yeah, I mean, we'd seen it a couple of times before that, but, you know, cool to see it in, you know, a theater with other people that were experiencing it for the first time. It's always weird seeing yourself on screen, too. Yeah. So it was weird, you know, having to watch myself on screen.
Yeah, and that's when I met Jennifer. She was there and other bands of people were there, and it was wonderful. I always love when people get together like that. So anyway, and then I flew home for the wedding, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did something very different for your wedding.
Yeah, so we decided to have, you know, we wanted to do the wedding fairly quickly, you know, so we did it within 6 months of the engagement. And, you know, along the way of planning the wedding, and, you know, it seemed like even for us to have a small wedding, it was going to be 200 people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided we were going to do it small. We only had 30 people at the wedding, and we did it on the rooftop at a hotel in the seaport here in Boston. And it was really nice.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was.
And thank God the weather was good that night.
Yeah, because all week they had predicted rain on Monday, which is when we had the wedding, and that would have ruined it because it was on a rooftop. And, like, the whole point of having it at this location is to have the photos on the roof, and it would have had to been moved inside to the restaurant, and that wouldn't have been ideal. But it turns out it was the perfect day.
It was the perfect day. And then we went over to another restaurant in the seaport for, like, we had just, like, cocktails and appetizers there, and then went over to another restaurant, which the food was amazing. I actually keep pictures of the food on my phone. I look at them and I go, oh, that was so delicious. And it's nice to know that even years ago when I was so ill, I would think, oh, if my kids ever go to college, if they ever get married, I won't be able to be there. I'm too sick. And that, you know, you're there and you're enjoying the whole thing.
You even did a reading at the wedding.
And I even did a reading at the wedding. Yeah, yeah. And I even did the eulogy at my mother's funeral. Eulogy. Something that, you know, the other siblings couldn't get up. And I got up and I did it. And I held myself together.
You did.
I practiced over and over so I didn't cry.
Probably overly concerned about crying.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got through the whole thing.
Which actually, when we did my update on my, you know, my last year, we redid it because I cried doing it. And I don't like to, you know, it's normal to fall apart, but I actually was falling apart too much trying to do it. So we redid it and that saved us some time.
Yeah.
So before I want to get in and talk a little bit more about As Prescribed, but before we do that, I think one of the things that we should talk about is you filed, your office has filed the benzo bill again.
Correct.
And everything doesn't have a docket number yet?
Has a docket, doesn't have a bill number.
Has a docket, no bill number. Okay, so we're going
to kind of explain what that means, you know, when we file bills at the beginning of a legislative session, everything gets a docket number right away. So you have a number to track it. Then it goes to the clerk's office. The clerk's office then kind of, you know, reads the bill and then sees where's the best path for the bill and sends it to a committee and gives it a bill number. Mm-hmm. And that's the bill number that it will carry while in the committee. And then depending on what happens with it, we'll either keep that number or will be changed because changes will be made to the bill or it will be combined with other bills.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't have a bill number yet, but does have a docket. You know, we just had chairs named the other day, so I would imagine the bill would probably have a bill number in the next week or two.
Okay, good. And we felt like everything was in it that we wanted to be in it. Everything's covered, which is, you know, informed consent, short-term reason, short-term prescription, symptom-guided tapers, and long-term uses are to be protected, which I felt was the most important. And most likely, it's going to be via Zoom. Is it Zoom an option, or you can go in person, or is it all Zoom?
Yeah, so the way that we had been operating during the pandemic was everything was done through Zoom. And that includes actual votes in the chamber where you could do over the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
We no longer have that option. So everything that we do is in person. So whenever the next hearing is for the benzo bill, the people hearing the bill will be physically in the building hearing the bill. However, people testifying will have both options. You can either be there in the room testifying in front of the committee, or you can do it over Zoom.
Okay. That's
because we have, you know, the way that our hearing rooms are set up, it's very easy to kind of have some. We don't use, actually, probably wouldn't be able to use Zoom, but we use Teams in the State House.
So when we did it last year, and we thank God it was Zoom because we got a lot of medical professionals that could testify on our behalf, which we didn't have before. How would it be done if you go in? Let's say 10 of us want to go in person. mm-hmm. because the committee now would be there because everybody was Zoom last year.
Yeah, everybody on the committee, like there's no option for the chairs or the committee members to be over Zoom.
Okay.
Actually, that's a good question. Maybe committee members could be there via Zoom just because they're not running the hearing, but the chairs have to physically be in the building in a hearing room.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. And we have no idea when it could be.
No, I mean, once it goes to a committee, like maybe we could get a better idea of it. You know, we can start talking to, you know, the first thing that a staff would start doing, depending on where it goes, which it will probably go to the same committee that it always goes mm-hmm. to, they start breaking bills up into subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And they may say, we're looking to hear that this summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, June, July. Or they might say, we're not going to hear that until the fall, which means probably not until October, okay. November.
Well, hey, we're going to try to gather as many people as we can to participate, you know. So if anybody is from Massachusetts and you haven't, if you're not on, there's a list. Maybe, well, we'll see how. I'll probably get in touch with Sonia at BIC, Sonia at, what is there, Benzo Info. I think it's Sonia at BenzoInfo.com. Send her an email. And then she can get you on the list. And then Holly Hardman has one. But once Sonia has it, we can share. So let's kind of just go back to this for a minute. I want to just go back to as prescribed. Because this past year, that's part of the recap, aside from the first screening that we went to, there's been a few others. And it's been great because people can watch literally virtually from anywhere in the world when it was with the Global Health Film Festival. And I think Holly's going to line some more up. So I would just tell people, keep watching the www.asprescribedfilm webpage or on Facebook, go to As Prescribed. And I, you know, sometimes people say, why isn't it free? You know, blah, blah, blah. Well, when it's going through a film festival, it's the film festival that makes the money. It is not Holly. And she's out there trying to get the film, you know, out there recognized. And she's actually gotten some very good accolades for it. So, I'm going to, you know, we're going to get Holly on so she can really explain the whole thing because I'm not a filmmaker. Yes, we were part of just being film, doing what we do. So yeah,
and to kind of answer the why isn't it free thing, it'd be, I'm sure Holly ideally would love to have it for free.
Absolutely, but she spent a lot of money.
Yeah, spent a lot of money. It was a lot of time.
Yeah.
You kind of have to recruit some of that somehow.
Absolutely. And how people don't understand that, you know, like they don't go into their doctor and yell saying, why can't I see you for free? But here's something that she put her heart and soul into. And, you know, when somebody, you know, writes that on my Facebook, it's like, you know,
yeah.
Hey, well, you know, why isn't our food free? Why isn't this free? You know, everything costs. And she does have to recoup a lot of money for, I mean, my gosh, it was, what, 6 years of filming. And so she had, you know, camera people and sound people and editing people. And then because of COVID, it took her, you know, a lot longer to edit via Zoom. So yeah.
Just the days that we filmed with her, you could see how much it was costing because everything required a crew. And never, yeah. Like we were just two people that happened to be in it. There's a, you know, for those that have seen it, yeah. There's quite a few people that are covered in it.
Yeah. And, you know, Holly did a fantastic job and the stories are all wonderful. And if you haven't seen it, please keep checking her website, asprescribedfilm.com. See when the next film is. The fact that we can now all watch it virtually, it's amazing. Get your families in. Let them watch it with you so they understand what you went through. So one last thing before we go. Anything else that you want to say?
No.
Okay. So now that I feel sad that we have no more Ken, no more Melly, but we will still next year follow up with Lisa because she should be done by next year. We'll follow up with Jim. And Jim's very good about tracking everything that he's done. And so we'll have them back. But other than that.
And hopefully a more regular release of a podcast.
I was just going to say
no
that.
You have no plans to leave.
I hope I don't have any plans that nothing else will happen. Although, you know, we have a new baby coming. So we'll work around the baby schedule.
Your daughter's baby.
Yes, my daughter's baby. Yeah. Yeah, so Leanna will be having a baby. So anyway, so we hope to get these out more regular. We've had shows lined up with people for a long, long time. In fact, someone that we were going to interview before, we had a problem with the computer. She's had another baby since then. That's how long we had her lined up. So we're going to try to get all these people that we wanted to have on the show. So again, I can't thank you all enough for always listening. I really appreciate all the emails and notes and, you know, people saying, you know, that they missed us while we were gone. But hopefully we're back. And keep spreading the word, having people subscribe to YouTube and on any podcast where you listen to them. Thank you.